Hi, friends. I'm Steve Dickman, and we're coming to you today with another report about what's happening in the Ukraine. Sometimes it floats off of our radar because there's so many other things happening in the world. But we have with us today a collection of individuals who are in that area of the world and they're ministering. And we would just love to see you watch this report and share this report with others. As this conflict continues, it's an opportunity for us to minister. I'm going to go to Alexei. Alexei, would you please tell us about some things that are happening there on the ministry front in Ukraine?
Thank you, Steve. Yes, we have ministries over there in Ukraine. We have some of them are on the occupied territories over by Russia. We have a Zuivka ministry in Donetsk area. They run a health center and a health food store and restaurant. And in spite of the combat being very close to them, they've been very successful in their ministry. They just finished a lifestyle session in the health center. And this week they are focused on the restaurant. And at this time, they're doing Bible studies with people and giving them spiritual and emotional help. Bobtop ministry in Energodar area have been serving food to people. They serve three towns, and they would like to expand their work, but they need more finances. In Poltava, over in Ukrainian side, we have mental rehab center. They used to work with addicts, but right now they help people traumatized by war. And they began their operation in a big building that they succeeded to rent. And they just ran two sessions. They took 25 people who went through occupation, through severe loss of relatives and property. At our home, we need to pray for them to get the license. It's one of our major health centers. They applied, but they got denied, and they reapplied again, and we are praying that they would receive license. Over in Russia, we have several ministries in Russia, in Kazakhstan, and they've been lifestyle centers have been doing well, but there is a danger of drafting the staff, and they are considering maybe relocating to Kazakhstan. And we have a ministry in Kazakhstan, the Pearl Health Center. They have a good group of students there at medical missionary school now, and they do their lifestyle sessions. So this is all I have from that part of the world.
Thank you so much, Alexei, for keeping us up to date on what's happening there in the ministries. Marcus, you are involved in the medical side, the medical angle, some frontline stuff there. Tell us about what's happening.
A while ago, we were offered some medical equipment that the local hospital didn't need anymore. They had stopped operating and they were selling at very, very cheap prices some high-tech operating table systems, two of them with four beds each. We looked at it carefully, where could we something like this be used properly, and after back and forth for quite a while, we found a place in Kiev, a hospital there, and we were there, just came back and had been about 3 weeks there installing all those operating tables. They are mounted in the ground. There were multiple obstacles, but thanks to a friend of mine, Louis Kuster, who is a technician and retired now, and he came along and he helped getting those systems in. And when we left, everything worked beautifully, and we were given a big farewell at the director's office with a certificate and all, like is custom in those countries. And they said what they had so far was Ladas that they worked with. Now they have two Ferraris there. So these two tables were considered really very good, and they work well. We tried them. I can send you some videos and you can have a look at them. So this is a job done, and we are glad to be back safely. It was not always easy. Also, crossing the borders was sometimes a hazard, but in the end, looking back, I think it was all worth it. And what made us convinced that this is the right place is that this hospital also sends out teams to the front lines so that they can help with the medical staff there. There's 2 week stints for the teams, and when they come back, they bring back patients that need specialized operations. This hospital that we worked in, that the operating tables are in, is a hospital in the city. It's probably the biggest in the east. Neurological specialists. They have 22 operating theaters. They have 361 operating beds. They have about 400 active surgeons, and they do about 6,000 operations a year. So this is a huge institution, and they see about 20,000 patients, in and outpatients, a year. So we were convinced that this is a good place. And they, what also was very nice, two things. One is they took very good care of us. We were housed at one of the head doctor's housing outside of town. So we drove 30 kilometers every day. Was a waste of time, but at the same time, it was much safer than in town. And secondly, that they took good care of us with food as well. We had food in the cafeteria there, so they really gave us a warm welcome, and we felt comfortable.
Thank you so much, Marcus. Appreciate that. Michael, tell us, what is the situation on the front line there? I think you've been there and seen some of that and been involved. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. You know, we've spent the last 3 weeks in Ukraine, and it's been quite an eye-opener. We managed to visit some of the frontline territories in the southeastern regions. We've been looking for exact locations, the optimal location where to put up our units to start work. And, you know, there's so much work out there. It's very hard to know exactly where we would be the biggest benefits for the most number of people, without compromising safety too badly. The region we visited was a region that was previously occupied by Russia just 3 months ago. And I can't even tell you how terrible it was. The villages are flattened. They're destroyed. You know, the village we were in, they're discovering mass graves all around the area all the time of people that were executed in November. You go into the village school, it's been destroyed by rockets. And it's sickening. The children's shoes are all lined up outside the classroom doors, but the children are gone. And you walk out the door, it's rocket holes everywhere, and the trenches come right up to the front door with landmines planted everywhere. So a really sickening place. And you know, in all this chaos, many people are still living there. We met many elderly people who are living there without water, without electricity, without regular food. They're living in really cold conditions with no heating. And the hospital is destroyed, their churches are gone, their schools are gone, they've got nothing. So that's why we're focusing on these areas. The need is enormous, and our goal is to get these clinics open as fast as we can so that we can provide good services to these regions. So please pray for us as we navigate these regions and, you know, try and figure out where we can operate in a meaningful manner, but in one that doesn't compromise safety too much. Where you stand in these villages, you can hear the gunfire to the south. You can hear the rockets exploding, just a few kilometers away in the nearby city that's being destroyed. So you know, it's there's risk involved, but we're happy to be able to do something meaningful. And we just ask you to pray for us as we navigate through this whole process to get these clinics open.
Thank you so much, Michael. We appreciate that report of what's happening on the front lines. I'm going to go to Kim now. Kim, tell us a little bit about the dental situation and what's happening with that.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. As you've listened to Marcus and to Michael, as they've shared, you know, firsthand reports of what's going on there, your heart can't help be touched by the needs of the people. And along with the medical, we've been working on getting a fully equipped mobile dental unit going. And Marcus and his team brought that from Switzerland, and we've imported into Ukraine. And we're told by the 14th of this month, that everything will be done. It's being all kitted out in a very professional, very good way that'll help bring free dental care to the people that Michael has just been describing. And part of the challenge of our team of Advent Relief has been, you know, to get there on the ground with the people we want to have on the ground. And to do that, we've had to create an Advent Relief Ukraine NGO in Ukraine, so that all these resources, all these assets we're bringing in will remain under our influence, and we'll be able to direct them more than when we brought the four, you know, trauma stabilization points in and essentially gave them over to the Ukrainian military, which was a good move, but we'd like to be more intimately involved. So to get organization created, established in Ukraine, and then to be able to import all these containers and weather havens and mobile dental units, and trucks, and to retain ownership of them has taken some time. We felt it's been the right way to go. And for the long term, it'll allow us to do our work more effectively. And as Michael and as the news describes what the Ukrainian people are facing, Advent Relief isn't in there for the short term. We're in there for the long term. We got no idea when this war is going to end. And even when it does end, the medical care, the dental care will be needed by the people there. So it's a privilege to participate and to try to help the best we can.
Cam, you were mentioning about the work also happening in Moldova. Tell us just a little bit about what's happening there.
Yeah, you know, Steve, it's been great to see the team in Moldova and how they function for both serving Ukrainian refugees and also Moldovians in great need themselves. And our team leaders there, Abel and Daria, are out every day with the people. Some folks will remember that we did a big drive for blankets, to get blankets to people this winter as they're facing sub-zero temperatures and lots of snow and wind. And so they've done a broad distribution of the blankets. We have a young Portuguese physician that's committed to be there as a volunteer for 6 months. And so the medical, the dental, the blanket distribution, and just bringing people encouragement and help in very practical ways has been going every day in Moldova. And we're grateful for that. You know, we're getting more into Ukraine with the front lines and the great needs there. But the needs of the refugees that have left and that are staying in Moldova haven't changed at all. So we're just grateful that it's there, it's safe. If we can find more volunteers that would like to, nurses, doctors, dentists, that would like to sign up to go. Moldova is quiet from a military activity perspective. There's tension in the country, there's trouble in the country. They fear what may happen if this war continues too much longer.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. It's a blessing to hear what's happening there with Advent Relief. We believe that the Lord is prospering the work in spite of the challenges. Friends, if you would be so kind as to share this report with others you know, we just want to take this opportunity to keep the awareness of what's happening there on our hearts and minds, so we know how to pray for these people, and we have the opportunity to help them and assist them in this journey of a very difficult situation. Thank you again today for what you have done and what you continue to do in support of the ministries operating there on the front lines in Ukraine, providing relief, providing encouragement, providing hope to people that are in a very difficult and challenging situation. May God bless you. And we look forward to the opportunity to send another report here in a few weeks.